He knew you, didn't he, Lord Ryan Calder? You didn't even try to deny it. You sat there like a kid messed his pants.
Didn't intend to come and dine with Harvey. Wasn't the plan.
What was?
The sec officer held up his gauntleted fist to halt the escort.
Come on, Lord Ryan. You'll tell me sooner or later. So what was it? Murder the family and then rule yourself as the Baron of Front Royal?
Yes, to the first, and maybe to the second. You still didn't tell me his name.
The sergeant moved closer, grinning.
Oh, you'll like this, Lord Ryan. Remember little Kenny Morse?
Of course. If it hadn't been for Kenny, I'd have died at 15. He saved me from my brother.
And you know what happened?
He was murdered. I heard that recently.
Yeah? Well, that was his brother, Will, who just mistakenly betrayed you in there. Funny, isn't it?
No, not really.
Some miles away, deep in the forest of the Shens, Nathan Freeman was leading Doc Tanner and Lori Quint along winding paths. Picking his way carefully, he stopped frequently to listen for any sound of man or beast. They were heading toward the rambling fortress of Front Royal. The chain around Ryan's throat bit into his skin and was drawn so tight that breathing was difficult. It held his head still, strained up and back. The steel of the handcuffs was pitted with age, but the action was greased and clicked home, and squeezed so hard that the ends of his fingers were swollen and sore. But he'd felt worse. At least the sergeant hadn't taken the opportunity to give him a beating, merely checking that the cuffs and the throttle chain were secure. He fixed the end of the links to a heavy iron ring that was built into the stone of the wall.
Now you wait, my lord.
I wasn't going to move anyway. Could you put out the lamps? They'll disturb my sleep.
If you weren't who you are, and if you weren't going where you're going, I swear I could almost like you.
When will my brother come?
Baron's not well, seeing you come up like a skeleton out of the tomb. Had himself some drink, did the Baron. On the mar, he has to ride out to Fisher's Hill. There's a hunt fixed. Boars. Baron wouldn't miss that, and it'll give you a day to sweat on it.
Tomorrow night, then?
That's what I figure. There, I've dimmed all the lamps but one. Need that to watch it through the Judas hole in the door. Sleep well, Lord Calder.
The sec man had told him that the other three were also locked in their rooms, but none of them was to be tied. And Jack had recovered consciousness from the blow to his head. They would all take their turn being interrogated by Baron Harvey Calder. There was a warm glow from the lamp that stood on an old polished round table near the barred window. The draperies had been closed, leaving only a chink near the top. It was full dark outside. From where he lay on the floor of the chamber, Ryan could hear the noises of the Ville as life went on. He guessed that the news of his return would already have raced through the big building until the meanest scullery boy would know that Ryan Calder was back at Front Royal.
Oiled and ready to tear some ass.
Ryan managed a wry grin. He was resigned to the fact of his imminent death. It was simply a question of how and when. JB, Jack, and Christy would also perish. There was a slim chance that Doc and the girl might get away. Ryan hoped so. He liked Laurie, but he was coming to love the eccentric old man. The only hope left now to Ryan was that they might get careless at the end and give him a chance to at least settle the old debt by killing his brother. He could do it easily enough with his bare hands, given just a couple of seconds and a scant yard of space. Somewhere, he could catch the distant sound of a piano playing, and he wondered who was at the keyboard. An aunt of his had come to the Ville when Ryan had been 8 years old, an immensely tall, skinny woman whose name escaped him. It was some sort of flower, he thought. She'd loved dancing, and had teased the solemn young boy by snatching him as they'd passed in one of the long corridors. Pressing him to her flat, bony chest, she'd called out to him,
"Heel and toe, heel and toe. One, two, three, one, two, three. Lovely, Ryan, lovely."
As the wasting sickness that had killed her had begun to set its teeth in her body, she'd grown more melancholy. Once she'd been playing an old tape of music, a dance tune called a tango. She'd looked up at him from the thin, bird-like face, with eyes bright and fevered, the bones scraping at the inside of her skin.
They say the tango is a merry rhythm, Ryan. It is not. It is infinitely mournful.
She died a week later, and been buried in the family plot with the rest of the line of Cawdors, back to the long winter. Ryan didn't recognize the tune the piano was playing. After a while, it ceased, and he slipped into an uneasy sleep. The rattle of the spy hole woke him, and he peered across the room. The lamp was burning low, near to guttering out, and the chamber smelled of oil. There was a momentary flash of brighter light as the door opened a narrow crack and then closed again. Someone slipped through the gap, and for a split second, Ryan allowed himself a glimmer of hope, knowing the foolishness of such a thought.
On your life, trooper. I'll spill your hot blood myself, not until I'm knocked to be let out. Understand?
Yes, ma'am.
There was plenty of light for Ryan to immediately recognize Lady Rachel Cawdor, wearing the same dark clothes and carrying the same worn leather purse. Without a word, she knelt at his side, drawing a slim-bladed stiletto from her belt. The point rested for a moment on the material of his pants, just above his groin. She began to push, the steel slicing through the material, touching cold on the flesh of his stomach.
Now!
The knife was very old. Ryan had never seen it before, but he knew that the Vill had once housed a remarkable collection of early weapons of all sorts. The hilt was silver, heavily embossed with floral decoration, and the blade was steel. He tried to relax against the sharp pricking of the knife as she moved it lower and lower. Despite himself, Ryan winced and tried to ease himself down, avoiding the steel as it brushed the top of his penis.
Oh. Oh. So brave, brother-in-law, yet so like all men. Filled with stupid pride until your pathetic little pricks are threatened.
Harvey wouldn't like me spoiled.
She patted him on the cheek, running a sharp nail along the jagged scar that furrowed his face.
He did that. And the eye. He talks of it when he sleeps, racked by horrors. He talks of you. He knew you'd come back one day. Knew it. You're his walking nightmare, Ryan Cawdor.
Ryan didn't speak. The knife was still poised, like a honed nemesis, ready to descend and hack at his manhood. She was very beautiful. Ryan corrected that thought. She had once been very beautiful. Now she was rattled by the jolt.
You can't move. I could do anything to you, dear brother-in-law. Anything. I could rape you. Use that cock of yours, then cut it off. I could kiss you. Make you kiss me. Make you use your tongue on my body. Would you like that, brother-in-law?
She was leaning across him, her breath running faster. The front of her dress gaped open, and he could see her breasts, the nipples erect with desire.
What would you like, Ryan?
I'd like you to die, and take your husband and that sick little bastard of a son with you.
He waited for the thrust of the knife, but nothing happened. Ryan opened his eye. Rachel had sat back on her heels, the velvet dress hitched up between her knees, showing a smooth expanse of pale thigh.
You talk big for a helpless one-eyed man, Ryan Cawdor.
Cut the bullshit. Why are you here?
I wanted to see you. Wanted to see you before that sottish husband of mine had you thrown to his boars or his dogs or whatever unoriginal way of chilling he picks.
Ryan didn't reply. There was nothing to say. He'd read pulps where the captured hero talks to the mistress of the villain and uses his charms to persuade her to release him. Life wasn't like that. Steel cuffs held him helpless, and the chain around his throat made it impossible for him to move. Tomorrow they'd come and take him to Harvey, and then he'd be dead. The best to look for was a quick passing, which was why he tried to provoke the woman into wasting him with her knife. That had failed, and there wasn't anything else left.
Don't want to talk?
She was becoming more nervous, hands moving, head turning from side to side. He recognized the symptoms from the dinner table.
I need a snort. And I need something to rest my mirror on. You'll do, brother-in-law.
She took the knife again and slit his clothes, opening the jerkin and pulling it back across his flat, muscular stomach. Then she cut through the crotch of his trousers. Placing the knife on the floor, she tugged his trousers over his thighs. She touched him, very gently.
Oh, my dear relative, I've cut you. A tiny ruby that glistens here. Should I kiss it better for you, Ryan?
Despite the effects of the jolt on her appearance, Rachel Carter was still an attractive, skilled woman. Ryan tried to pull away from her, fighting for control.
Very good, Ryan. But I shall win. Like all men.
She then bent once more to her task. When she lifted her head again, the woman was grinning.
There, brother-in-law. That wasn't so awful, was it?
Ryan didn't reply, feeling soiled by the contact, certain only that he would kill Rachel Carter if he was given half a chance.
Bad loser. While you're here like this, I might give myself some... the cramps are... First things first.
Rachel took out the little brown bottle and uncorked it. Holding the mirror in her hand, she looked around the room for somewhere to set it, eventually placing the chill metal on Ryan's stomach. She cut the powder into finer grains, then formed it into several narrow lines.
Forget the fucking after all. This is...
The ivory tube in one nostril, the other pinched tight, she again lowered her face toward his body. Only when the mirror was clear did she sit up again, face wreathed in a broad smile.
Now, what shall we do, Ryan?
Get out.
Worried the muty redhead will find out you enjoyed me doing you? I might go tell her right now.
That jolt's gonna kill you soon.
I can stop whenever I like.
Yeah, like everyone else can. I've seen the stiffs from coast to coast. Heart gives up the effort. You're dead, bitch.
Harvey won't live long. His heart's near finished, brother-in-law. Then I rule the vill.
What about your son?
Jabez? The darling does everything I tell him to do.
Like fuck you?
She slapped him so hard across the face that his head banged back against the floor. She snatched up the knife and stared at him, eyes opened wide in an insensate rage.
You don't. Don't. Jabez loves his mother, that's all.